looks good. At first, I was just trying to get through this whole pandemic, you know? But then I realized this is going on for a while, and after sitting on the couch watching Netflix for a couple of weeks, I thought, I need to take advantage of this. I started to write a list of everything I wanted to do if only I had the time. You know, I figured I'd run a marathon and learn guitar and read 100 books. I went out and bought War and Peace, you know? I went online to buy a treadmill. Sold out everywhere in Canada. Apparently, I was not the only one thinking this way. I decided I'd read through the Bible in a year, figure out how to use the Instapot we got for Christmas. I always wanted to bake, so I got a big bag of flour. Couldn't find yeast. Well, the list was long, but I was so excited. You know, I was motivated. And even my wife was cautiously, you know, impressed. I put the list on the fridge. That was a mistake. You know, my wife started adding things to the bottom of it, using it like a honey-do list, putting chores around the house. I bought a good pair of shoes. I went running one time. Then it snowed. I thought I'd do it tomorrow and the next day and the next. And well, one thing you should know about War and Peace, not only is it incredibly long, it's also incredibly boring. You know, I have a sourdough starter somewhere in the fridge, but it's either dead or it's become sentient. One by one, I just started giving up on the list. You know, I eventually just took it off the fridge. It was just making me feel bad. I went back to sitting on the couch, watching Netflix. I'd scroll through my phone, look at COVID updates and Facebook. The only thing I learned during that time was don't buy anything from a Facebook ad. After a couple more months of that, I decided to give it another shot. You know, I learned my lesson. Start small, just choose one thing. You know, I said, I'm going to run every day. Run or walk. You know, and I did. Some days it was just 5 minutes. And some days it was just around the block. But it got to the point where if I didn't do it, it just felt weird, you know. And now I'm at the point where I can run a mile in 10 and a half minutes, you know. The other day I even ran for 8 miles straight, you know. My wife thinks I'm getting a little obsessed with it, but if I don't do it, it just feels weird. First time it snowed, I went online and bought a used treadmill, you know, and in fact, there's a lot of used workout equipment online, most of it unused and most of it about one pandemic year old. My family makes fun of me with all the running stuff, but when they do, I just look at them and say, if that sourdough starter comes out of the fridge, I can outrun you all.
How many of us have been motivated to start something or to do something, and then we think, I'll get to that tomorrow. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. You know, I'll get to it eventually. I've got lots of time. I've got lots of time to make that happen. You know, we can put off doing things because we think it'll be easy for us to start at any time. And the pandemic has probably been that way for you. You know, you have that list of things that you want to accomplish. I know that I had a page of things that I wanted to get to, that I wanted to do. And how many did I actually accomplish? Well, I can probably count them all on one hand. I don't know about you, but I often underestimate how hard it is to actually start something new or something different, especially if I want it to become a habit. You know, a habit is a behavior that starts as a choice and then becomes a nearly unconscious pattern. Look at your morning routine or your drive to work. I'm sure that you just fall in the mode and you start going and it happens. And I know sometimes I'm driving and I think, how did I even end up getting here? It just is so automatic that I do that. It's become this unconscious pattern that we do. But getting started and making it stick, oh, that's not easy, is it? But when we do, every habit, no matter how simple or complex, has the same structure, which we call a habit loop. There's a cue, a trigger, that tells your brain to go into that automatic mode. These loops are helpful, especially if the habit is healthy. Take that example of running. You know, you've decided that every day after work, you're going to go for a run. Eventually, it becomes a habit. And you just know that once you get home from work, you're going to go and you're going to reach for those shoes. You're going to put them on and you're going to go out for a run. That's a healthy habit loop to develop. Or how about instinctively brushing your teeth after you eat breakfast in the morning? That's another good healthy loop that we've established. There's just a trigger there. When we're done eating, we get up and we go and we brush our teeth. And once it's established, if we break that habit, well, it just feels kind of weird, doesn't it? It doesn't feel right, and we can't wait to get back into that loop of doing it. We need to get back to that routine. However, there are also bad habits that we develop as well, like binge-watching Netflix or constantly scrolling through social media. Most of our bad habits are caused by two things: stress and boredom. Bad habits are often simply a way of dealing with those, especially when we're socially distanced and we're stuck at home like we are right now. But as easy as it is for us to build habits that are unhealthy, you can teach yourself new and positive healthy ways to deal with stress and boredom as well. But building a new habit, well, it takes time, it takes patience, and perseverance. We have to work at it to achieve it. For many of us, we'd rather live with a bad habit than actually developing that better new habit, wouldn't we? It just seems too hard. We seem to have this weird dichotomy going on, don't we? We want to achieve things, we want to build good habits, but we don't want to put in the time and effort that it takes to develop them. We want things to be simple. We want things to be easy for us. We all have big dreams and aspirations. We all have things that we want to achieve and accomplish. Yet few of us actually end up achieving or attaining the things that we pursue. Why is that? Well, I think it's found in that previous statement. We want it to be simple and we want it to be easy. I think we look at those who reach those goals and we assume that it must have been easy for them. You know that thought, there's that singer. Well, of course it was easy for them. They have a really good voice. It comes naturally for them. Of course they got that recording contract. But we don't think about the work it took for them to get there, even though they had that good voice. You know, the mountain of rejections that they had to face, the energy, the determination, and the habits they had to establish, the fact that they had to overcome their own lack of self-confidence. From our perspective, it just looks simply easy. And we think that it should be easy for us too. So let me ask you, what is it that you dream of for your life? Is it more money, maybe power, fame, or something else? What are you pursuing to prove your significance and your worth? And let me ask you, how's that going for you? What habits have you established to help you pursue this goal? And what habits do you need to get rid of because they're actually hindering you from achieving it? And are these really the things that you should be pursuing anyways? You know, this series we began last week is called The Jesus Way. Over the next 5 weeks, we're going to explore what it looks like to live and act like Jesus. Many of us are familiar with the things that Jesus said, and even some of us can recite a few of those verses. But we all know it's easier to say what Jesus did than actually do the things that he did. How many of us actually attempt to live the type of life that Jesus did? Wouldn't this get in the way of us pursuing our own goals and dreams? And maybe you think it's just simply too hard to be like Jesus. You know, we admire those people who achieve things like Jesus did. We love to hear their stories and applaud them. But for most of us, we'd rather sit on the sidelines and watch than actually get involved. We'd rather be the cheerleader over here than actually step into the game. I mean, come on. If I were to do that, then I would need to give up some of my own dreams, wouldn't I? I'd have to stop pursuing the things that I thought were important. I'd have to develop some seriously good habits. And habits, as we've already said, well, they're hard to form. You know, according to Dr. Nora Volkow, director of the U.S. National Institute on Drug Abuse, it can take anywhere from 18 to 254 days to form a new habit, and an average of 66 days for that new habit to become automatic. That wouldn't really leave me a lot of time to pursue the things that I want to pursue, would it? You know, it must have been easy for Jesus, right? After all, he was the Son of God, both God and man. He must have had the leg up. It was easy for him. He could play the God card and escape the difficult things, couldn't he? Well, maybe not, because there was dying on the cross, so maybe it wasn't easy for him either. I want to share a story today from the life of Jesus. I want us to take a close look at the choices Jesus made and the things that he pursued. I think we may find, like when we look deeper into that singer, that perhaps there was more going on than we first imagined. Perhaps Jesus had to work. Perhaps he had to make choices and give up pursuing things he wanted. Maybe he had to develop habits that would help him pursue the right thing. So let's take a look at Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 35 today. If you have your Bibles, why don't you grab them and let's read this together. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Well, at first glance, this passage can seem pretty straightforward, can it? Jesus went out to pray. His disciples went and they found him and they said that everyone is looking for him and that he should come. But Jesus decides that they should move on. That seems pretty straightforward. But wait, why would they move on? Why would they go to other places when there was a captive audience right there for Jesus? There were people that were clamoring for him right there. You know, that must have felt really good. It must have felt good for the disciples and good for Jesus as well. You know, as a child actor, there was nothing I loved more than the applause of a crowd at the end of a performance. I loved if I could make someone cry, or even harder to do, make them laugh. That was just sheer adrenaline. All I wanted as a kid was to be famous. Isn't that what all of us want in some respect? Who doesn't want to be famous? Why wouldn't Jesus have stayed and ate this up? I'm sure he had that crowd eating out of the palm of his hand. They were loving him. He could have been famous. But here was Jesus with this prime opportunity, a captive audience waiting only for him. And yet he says, "Let's move on." And if we look a little deeper, why wasn't he with the crowd right at that moment? Why was he off praying? Why did the disciples have to come and find him? The truth is, Jesus may have been facing a crisis of his own. Now, I know what you're thinking. How could this situation be a crisis? But there was a lot more going on right here. We need to take a little closer look. And if we did, we would see that Jesus had already been very busy. He had spent the previous evening healing people and performing exorcisms. He was probably exhausted. And I don't know about you, but I would have chosen to sleep in than to get up and do something else. But Jesus didn't do that. No, he got up extra early and he went out by himself to a quiet place. He went somewhere away from everyone else while it was still dark. He got up while everyone was sleeping. He went somewhere where he wouldn't be interrupted or bothered. And the easiest way to get away from these crowds was to get up early while they were still sleeping, so that he could be alone. But Jesus wasn't really going to be alone, was he? No, he was going to spend some time with his Father. He was going to a quiet place to pray so that he could spend some time with God. He needed to talk to his Father. He had a habit of doing this. He needed to process what was going on. The crisis that he was facing was dealing with these shallow and superficial people. He had been teaching them, but they were only interested in what he could do for them. They weren't really interested in what he was preaching to them. He could have easily given in to all of that. He could have went along with it, let them love him for what he could do for them. Fame feels good, even if it's fake or fleeting. But Jesus was being tempted. He was being tempted with the opportunity for popularity at this point. Who among us hasn't been tempted by that? He didn't understand why they weren't understanding what he was preaching to them. Remember, he was fully God, but also fully human. And the human side needed some wisdom and perspective. I'm sure either decision would have been okay. Stay with the people or move on. Good could still have been done, right? But the motivation behind staying would have been the problem. If he had stayed, the motivation would have been for popularity and fame. If so, that would have clearly taken Jesus off of his mission. He would have done things in his own way with the few people that were gathered there instead of reaching many more, more that needed to hear the good news about him, even if they wouldn't understand right away. But Jesus didn't do that. No, Jesus knew that this was not something to attempt on his own. He knew that this was not why he had come. He knew that his way wasn't the best way of doing things, that he could accomplish nothing of significance on his own. He would explain it to the Jewish leaders like this: "Very truly, I tell you, the Son of God can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." Jesus didn't do anything on his own. He looked to his Father for direction and assistance. There was only one way Jesus could see and know what his Father was doing, and that was by spending time with him. He had to get away in order to spend time with him. That was the best way for him to connect with his Father and to seek his will and in any given situation that came up. Jesus, as fully man, didn't act on his own accord. He acted with guidance and direction from his heavenly Father. Now, the disciples didn't get this. They thought Jesus should just jump right back in with those crowds. They thought that he would be pleased that everyone was looking for him. They misunderstood what he has set out to accomplish. Jesus wasn't pursuing his own plan, as enticing as that may have been. No, he was clear that he only did what he saw his Father doing. The disciples didn't get that this was why he needed to take time away. They didn't understand that this is why he wanted to move on. The people were only interested in a miracle worker, but he came to proclaim the good news. The good news went along with healings and exorcisms. He was clear from his Father on why he had come. You know, he states his purpose for coming throughout the book of Mark. We've already read Mark 1:38, where he says, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Later in Mark 2:17, he says, "It is not only the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." And later still in Mark 10:45, he says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus was clear on why he had come. He didn't go about doing things the way that he thought would be best. No, he sought direction. He wanted to do things the way that his Father did. He was pursuing his Father's goals in the right way, not getting sidetracked by pursuing his own. So off they went to other places in Galilee to preach the good news. You know, we can easily pursue the wrong things too, can't we? We're led to believe that we should pursue the things that the world pursues. We should work hard so that we can achieve our goals and leave our mark on this world. But honestly, that's a lie. That's a scheme of the enemy to take us away from pursuing the most important thing. The most important thing for us to pursue is a relationship with Jesus. If we want to do things the Jesus way, the way that leads to furthering the kingdom, we can't just know about it. We can't just recite a few verses. We have to actually get in and do it. And the truth is, we'll never be able to do it if we don't pursue a relationship with our Heavenly Father first. That's the first habit that Jesus established. He made sure that he was pursuing his Father daily. He had a quiet time. Now, I'm not saying that he used that quiet time to read his Bible, because he didn't even have a Bible back then. That's a good quiet time activity for us to do, and it can lead us to the right way to live. But Jesus knew it was important to pursue God through relationship. We need to pursue God in our quiet time as well. We need to be talking to him. We need to be asking him what he thinks about what we're doing and how he wants us to live. We need to learn to listen to his voice in whatever way that he speaks to us. We need to trust what he has to say to us. We need to ask him what he wants us to do, what he wants us to pursue. We need to ask him for the steps to get there. Then we can pursue the things that he sets out for us. You know, we all have the capacity to do good. We all have the capacity to make a difference. But imagine what we could do if we were asking God, our Father, for direction before we went out and did it. Imagine the confidence that would be built up in us when we get our steps directly from God. You see, Jesus could have kept preaching and healing all those people that were right around him. That would have been okay, but God wanted him to move on and to preach and heal and exorcise demons for others. Now that's better. There were many more people who needed to know about Jesus, even if they didn't fully understand why he had come. He needed to keep preaching them to them so that after his death and resurrection, that they might fully understand why he was there. You see, too often we just assume that what we're doing is good enough, isn't it? But what if we could come to know that there was a better way of doing things? What if we could see that the things God gives us to do actually change the lives of the people around us? Now, I know for some of us, we believe that we're simply not capable or qualified to do more or qualified to do better. We aren't Jesus. He was God, and quite frankly, we're not. But let me ask you this. Who is it that you're trying to follow? Who are you trying to emulate? The real human Jesus or a superhero version of him? The truth is, if we seek Jesus as a superhero, we neglect his decision to live on earth fully as a man. He didn't pull the God card and do things the easy way. Satan tried to get him to do that, but he refused. He wasn't willing to reveal the God part. He wasn't willing to give in to that, but rather Jesus lived as a man, connecting with his Father for guidance and direction. He was a fully human Jesus. He did what he did as a man. He did it as an example for us, so that we would know that we can do it too. And to further emphasize the point, Jesus said that we would do even greater things than he did. In John 14, 12, he says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." You see, we have everything we need, including a heavenly Father who delights in helping us out when we ask. We're capable of doing much more than we think that we can. Yet somehow we still convince ourselves that we can't, that it's too hard. The mandate for every Christian is clear. We are to follow Jesus. The Greek word for follow me translates to walk in the steps of, conform to, or follow behind closely. We're to follow Jesus' example. We're to walk in his steps. We're to conform to his way. And we're to follow him closely. We can do all these things if we develop some healthy habits. And the first habit is to pursue God, the God who will help us to conform to follow Jesus closely. You know, Pastor Jim Cimbala says this, "Good decisions are more important than quick decisions." Let me say that again. Good decisions are more important than quick decisions. You know, although I'm a quick processor and I'm able to make decisions quickly, this statement is very helpful as we desire to do things the Jesus way. You know, we can step in and do good. We can make quick decisions about what needs to happen and how we can serve. But what if seeking God's input meant we could do something even greater for the kingdom? We need to build the habit of spending time with God and asking for his input on what we could do to further his kingdom. This doesn't mean spending months just sitting around waiting for him to give us a sign. That's important, and sometimes that happens, but there's a lot of good that we can still do as we wait for that big direction. What if God had lots of smaller things that you could do while you were waiting? What if he had smaller things that you could do in between? What if you could make an impact at home, at work, at school, with your team, or with your friends? What I mean is that when we build a habit of spending time with him throughout our day, looking for input into what we could do next, then quiet time in the morning is the first good habit that we need to establish. But we can also establish the habit of connecting with him like we do with our friends throughout our day as well. What if we checked in with him like we do with our friends when we text during the day? What if we checked in with him at lunchtime or before our afternoon meeting or before your child's parent-teacher interview in the evening? What if God suddenly revealed something that you could do or say that would bring someone to the good news of who Jesus is? What if that one act that God wanted you to do, like start a conversation about the hope you have or the joy that you seem to show because you know Jesus? Well, what if that brought someone to the point of believing in him? What if when he asked you, he told you to do something for someone you normally wouldn't connect with, and it changed their life completely? You see, God can give you input into how to move his kingdom forward in new ways, in ways you wouldn't have thought of on your own. You know, I was on this journey myself, and truthfully, I'm still on that journey, and I still make plenty of mistakes, but I remember being anxious to understand how God spoke to me and wanting to understand the gifts that he had given me specifically. I was exploring this with my previous church family, and we decided to give everyone a watch with an alarm on it. This was before everyone had cell phones, of course, but we handed out everyone a watch and told them to set that alarm for once or twice a day. And in that time where the alarm went off, we were to stop and have a conversation with God, asking him what he wanted us to do in the next part of our day. We then would spend a few minutes just listening for him to respond. It took patience, and it was slow at first, but as I learned to discern his voice, suddenly God began to speak to me, and he would reveal to me something that he wanted me to do in the next part of my day. Suddenly, a meeting that had been bogged down with very little decision-making was moving forward because God gave me a new idea to put on the table. A conversation that was difficult to have with people that were choosing to walk away from God, well, God gave me a question to ask instead of giving them more information to get them to stay. And suddenly that question caused them to rethink their decision about walking away from Jesus. I became so excited watching the kingdom advance that I wanted to make it a habit. I didn't want God's input once or twice a day. I wanted God to be part of every part of my day. So I worked at developing that habit. When the watch went off, I would reset it again for the next hour or right before the next meeting. Eventually, I didn't need the alarm. I just developed that habit loop and would continually be asking God what he wanted me to do next. It just became second nature for me. I had developed that habit loop. Before I started any new task or went into that meeting, I began asking God what he wanted me to do. Now, I have to be honest, he doesn't always answer me, and something amazing doesn't always happen, and that's okay. Sometimes we just talk. Sometimes I talk about what's going on in my life. Sometimes he talks to me about himself, and through that, I'm growing my relationship with him. We talk, I ask, I listen, he responds, and then I act. And sometimes, as I said, we just talk. But it took developing a habit for me to get to this place. It took work. I had to pursue him. But when we prioritize connection with God, we grow, and suddenly the Jesus way seems doable for us. We have input from the one who knows what to do and knows the best way for us to do it. Well, let's come back to the story of Mark. As Jesus went on throughout Galilee, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Now we know that Jesus was used to healing people, but was this man just coming to him to get him to do something for him like that other crowd of people? Well, we don't know. But the text here does say that Jesus was indignant. But let's be clear, Jesus wasn't indignant toward the man for asking for healing. No, he hated leprosy. This was a terrible skin disease that Satan had developed and that he was responsible for. Jesus was indignant because Satan had done this. Jesus came to destroy Satan's work. It might be better to read this that Jesus, being angered by the work of the devil, reached out and touched the man. You see, he immediately reached out and touched the man, which was against the law of that time. There were strict laws against touching people that had this kind of skin disease. But Jesus was filled with compassion for the man. Jesus couldn't stay away or keep his distance because he was clear on why he had come. He was clear on what he was supposed to do. He knew what his father would do. He knew his father's heart because he'd spent time with him, because they'd spent time together. He knew that even though this man was not part of the immediate plan, he still needed to stop and care for him. He had learned this from spending daily time with his father. It's interesting that the man didn't ask, could Jesus heal him? He was clear that Jesus could. Instead, he asks if Jesus was willing. If Jesus had done things his own way, perhaps he would have been too tired to be willing to heal the man. He may not have been willing to heal him at all. But Jesus was willing because he knew his father's heart. He knew God's compassion and his mercy. He had seen what his father would do. Of course he stopped and healed the man. It wasn't scary or difficult for him because he knew why he had come. He was able to reach out and touch the man and bring him to full healing. Jesus had power because he had spent time in prayer. He knew what to do because he'd taken time to prepare himself for whatever was put in his path. God probably didn't say to him, hey, I'm going to put this guy in your way today. If you can maybe just heal him, that would be great. No, Jesus just knew what his father would do. When he was confronted by the man, he just stepped in and did it. We too are able to do so much more with God's help and Jesus' power. We don't have to be afraid to step into difficult or seemingly impossible situations when God asks us to. If he tells us to do it, he shows us how when we ask, then he'll give us the power to do it as well. He gives us the power through Jesus to complete any task. When we know him and we trust him, we can pursue things that we would have thought were completely out of our reach, even praying for healing for people. Now, let me ask you, how prepared are we in our day to pursue the things that God wants us to pursue? Now, don't misunderstand me. We all have jobs to do. There are tasks that you have to complete. You can't just run off with your own agenda and do all kinds of things on your work hours. That would get you fired and leave you without an income. And God knows all of this. He knows what you need to do in your work life. But don't underestimate his ability to have you advance his kingdom in the midst of your workday. There's kingdom work to be done all around us. With his help, doors can open where we once saw dead ends. Maybe you can't talk about faith at your work, but what if God pointed out one of your coworkers to you that needed help? What if he asked you to take them out for coffee after work? We can't just assume God will ask us to help on the weekend or when we have some free time. If we only pursue God in the work of his kingdom when it's convenient for our schedule, well, we'll miss out on a lot of great things that we could be part of. God doesn't work on our schedule, and people's needs don't just pop up when it's convenient for us. After all, we could just stay on the couch and live with our old habits. We could just stay where we are. We could not step in. We could keep those bad habits and the attitude that I'm not Jesus, so I can't do this. But the truth is, we'll miss out on a rich relationship with Father and Son. You'll miss out on ways to serve, and you can miss seeing his kingdom advance. Well, last week, Pastor James said, the kingdom of God is where his reign and rule are seen on the earth. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, our actions and our habits should demonstrate his reign and rule. Spending time with God, building relationship with him, and asking for his direction is one way of allowing his rule and reign in our life. So let me ask you today, what are you pursuing? Are you pursuing things that advance his kingdom? Or are you pursuing things that advance yours? If you are, well, you'll come to realize that it's futile. It won't last, and you'll find that whatever you achieve will never be enough. We're always left wanting more. But when we choose to build habits around discipline and patience and the pursuit of God's will, then we experience God. Then that feeling of wanting more dissipates. Building those habits will take work. But once that habit loop is established, things get easier. Then we're prepared to step in wherever God asks us to, and we're prepared to step in even if he doesn't. We're clear on what we're called to do. We're clear on what it looks like to live the Jesus way. We're prepared when things pop up right in front of us in the middle of our plans, and we're able to step in and we're able to help. That's how we do immeasurably more. We need to build good habits like Jesus did. We need to connect and build a relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's the Jesus way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are such a good dad. You love us so much. Thank you that you are there for us. Thank you that you help us to build good and healthy habits. Thank you, Father, that you loved us enough to give us an example. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you that he has shown us exactly how to live. And we know that building a relationship with you is important. Father, help us to make that our number one priority. We want to seek you. We want to know you. We want to see the things that you are doing so that we can do those things too. Father, help us to build a quiet time with you. Help us to build a habit of meeting with you daily, whether first thing in the morning or throughout our whole day. God, you never tire of meeting with us. Thank you that you have lots to say and you love to listen to the things that we have to say. Thank you that you love to give us direction. Thank you that you have things for us to accomplish for your kingdom. You don't need us to do it. You could do everything on your own, but you choose to do it with us. You choose to let us partner with you to further your kingdom. And we say thank you for that. Father, we look forward to meeting with you. We look forward to you speaking to us. We want to connect with you. We want to be close to you. We want a deep and rich relationship with you. Would you help us to do this, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.